I'm now speaking with Ron Suskind, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author. His books include The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism, The 1% Doctrine, Deep Inside America's Pursuit of Its Enemies Since 9/11, and The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill. And Ron, you're working on a new book. Does it have a title yet?
No, Ian, it doesn't. All I say is it's a book about America. It'll be out this year.
Well, America's sure in the news, not that it ever isn't, but it's to some extent on trial, I think, at home and abroad in terms of what's happened, where a congresswoman was shot down along with a lot of innocent civilians in a massacre that has become all too frequent in this country. And this will be the second time the president has spoken after a massacre of this sort. Of course, he spoke after the Fort Hood massacre. What do you expect him to say, Ron? Because there's an expectation that he has to rise at least to the levels of President Bill Clinton's speech after the Oklahoma City bombing, which happened at a similar time in Clinton's presidency, where he'd just taken a shellacking from the Republicans.
Yeah, well, I think this is one of Obama's moments of strength. To be frank, I understand that he worked hard on this speech, when he takes a kind of intense personal interest in a speech, which presidents can only do so much, it tends to show. So my guess is that if people have a free minute, it might be worth tuning into this one.
So do you think that he can talk about the issues that have so inflamed Sarah Palins of the world? There's this ridiculous argument going on now where it's as though the political atmospherics of a toxic political environment is mutually exclusive with the notion that there's any responsibility. In other words, atmosphere can contribute, but it's not necessarily responsible for. Nobody says that, do they? But that's more or less.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's the way these conversations have long worked, Ian. You know, somebody creates an environment or sort of eggs people on to destructive acts. And then they, raise their hands and say, my fingerprints aren't on it. I didn't do this. Certainly I would never sanction such a thing. And meanwhile, then they get back to saying things like, take your country back by any means necessary, or putting, congressional districts and the congresspeople who sit in them in the crosshairs of a gun sight. These actions are inflammatory, and the difficulty is that we live in a time where people can profit in many, many ways from a kind of extremism, a kind of extreme set of ideas, and as importantly, behaviors. You know, it's interesting when you think about where the rhetoric is now versus where it was 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, it's actually so rather astonishing. You know, the idea that as we live in a time where claim can trump fact, where assertion overwhelms authenticity, where the charge can circle the globe, 20 times before the hard counterpoint of fact ever rears its head, people have, for political profit in many cases, or to incite their social movements, have new tools they can use. There's no doubt, and the outcome ends up being somebody has their reality show minute with an act of violence, and I think that's certainly part of what we're seeing here.
Again, I'm speaking with Ron Suskind, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author, and we're talking in advance of President Obama's speech at the University of Arizona, where he's expected to speak in about 10 minutes from now. And what I find, though, offensive about the non-debate we're having, where people are shouting past each other, not that that's anything new, But I think it's quite offensive in a way that the Tea Party people and the Conservatives on the Republican side, which is the Tea Party is essentially the right wing of the Republican Party, I think, for all intents and purposes. I don't know why these right-wingers who always stand tall in the saddle and are quick to call the rest of us un-American, why they don't stand by their own words. They've been saying this stuff for the last couple of years, and now they're sort of calling a time out. It's almost sort of like the bully in the schoolyard, you know, suddenly bleating and expecting some clemency.
The trick to this dance that of extremism is that you know, on balance, most people in the country are not extremists. Sorry, there's a siren in front of where I'm standing. You know, they the wide middle is where most of Americans live, and you know, the difficulty though is that volume really works, and people start to ask themselves the question of how many people really believe in this sort of thing? The numbers are not nearly as large when you get right down to it as they seem. These things get magnified. The Tea Party itself drives debate, certainly from the right and folks of that community. But there's a strange kind of a misbegotten energy to it, because you know most people are affronted by it. Yet what you get is this dance that's happening right now, where folks, you know, are using these techniques. You know, they're very savvy about how they work. They charge up, they fire up your base. That's the idea. But when something like this happens, you know, it's a kind of what me? I had nothing to do with this. This is certainly an affront to everything I believe. It's interesting that thing that Sarah Palin did, which of course is creating its own little ruckus, where she got on to discuss this issue, and it was very interesting because it was very un-Palin-like. You know, not long after the shootings occurred, here she's got a slick 7-minute, a well-produced video. She's clearly reading from a script. She's talking about American themes, you know, as almost a president might. But she slips in there the word blood libel, that journalists and pundits or others are creating a blood libel that, you know, the right wing of the Republican Party is behind this. I mean, my goodness, of all terms to throw into the mix, here you've got a Jewish congresswoman, the first, you know, Democrat to be elected from this district, who gets slaughtered, and... You know, where do you come up with the word blood libel? Now, of course, many of the religious right listeners and followers of Sarah Palin know every bit what blood libel is. It's the old Jewish attack that Jews use the blood of Christian children in their rituals. It was one of the things that stood behind the Holocaust and the pogroms for, of course, centuries. I mean, what is that about? I mean, you just want to ask Sarah Palin, is that some signaling system to say, I'm saying this to all of you, but, you know, it got you a little wink. You know what I'm really sort of saying? I understand your pain. I don't know. Things like that, it leaves you dispirited, I suppose, about American public dialogue.
But Ron Suskin, do you think, though, that he, the president, who has been the object of these absolute outrageous tirades for so long, that he's that the most powerful political figure in Arizona just a couple of days ago said that the president shouldn't even come to Arizona unless he shows his birth certificate. In all of this stuff that he's a terrorist-loving Muslim from Kenya who hates America and hates white people, they have been saying for the longest time these terrible things about the president, and whether or not you can connect them to what happened, you can certainly connect them to the political atmospherics in Arizona. And do you think it will be the moment for the president to speak out, because he's never defended himself?
Yeah, well, you know, I would put this in a category, you know, of the race speech. You know, the president, this is his métier. This is his strong suit. When he is really challenged, And he has been really challenged by the vitriol from the right, you know, calling him every name in the book and all sorts of innuendos tucked in there, racial and otherwise. You know, this is where the president, you know, lifts the high arc, if you will. This is what essentially he feels it is his responsibility uniquely to do. And I think that's what you'll probably find today. You know, in some ways, moments like this provide opportunities for Barack Obama to essentially kind of a lift and reveal what I think most people would consider his best self, his strongest attributes. Again, which is what you saw on obviously the original sin and divisive issue of race. I mean, he was backed into a corner in the campaign, and look at that speech. You know, it's a thing of rhetorical and really intellectual beauty. And people said, wow, I haven't heard that sort of thing doing just what you're talking about. You know, we've talked by each other, around and through each other on race for a long time. Obama stepped up there and hit the key issues that we don't discuss on that race speech. And the question is, can he do that tonight on issues in some ways every bit as deep, intractable, and pronounced? You know, the incredible vitriol and bunker-to-bunker conversation that's going on in America, the food fight that passes for a public dialogue. And I think right now it's something that he would profit by doing, if you will. You know, if he can remind people in this speech tonight, oh, right, this is the guy that we elected. This is the guy who made me think and maybe made my eyes well up that time when I heard him. And even some Republicans say that, you know, this is his strong suit. So let's see if he can do it now to start his second term, his second half term, if you will, with something that reminds people about what first probably attracted them to Barack Obama and got him those 70% approval ratings in the first few months of his presidency.
Well, Governor Brewer is about to speak now, and I was just watching the president a second ago, and he's standing next to Sandra Day O'Connor on one side with his wife Michelle on the other. And of course, Sandra Day O'Connor is an Arizonan, but she's also somebody I think is kind of an exemplar in many ways of American centrism. A part of the Republican Party that's now an endangered species, but nevertheless, she and I think the congresswoman who was shot also represent the American center. And the conventional wisdom now is that the president is trying to embrace the center. And so, do you think he can hit a home run since the right, I think to many people's eyes, has been discredited. At least they're on the defensive now. And my criticism, as I mentioned to you earlier on, is that they should man up and own what they've said and not be so mealy-mouthed. But that aside, do you think this is a moment for the president to reach out to the center?
I think it is. I mean, I think it is. You know what? That center is out there. That's the problem. It gets overwhelmed by the noise coming from each edge. But the wide middle is where most people live. And, you know, I think mostly at this point they don't feel anyone really speaks for them. The political system has kind of siphoned off to either edge the moderates or endangered species in all walks. And I think that's the trick for the president, to not just offer a kind of, you know, we can come together speech, but to give it an edge, to give it a hard edge, in a way kind of call people out, to say, you know, at moments like this, silence is the dangerous thing. And people need to stand up and be counted rather than just essentially let extremists carry the public dialogue wherever they decide it ought to go. And that's, I think, what people probably are hoping for and waiting for. You know, let's see a little of that toughness. Let's see a little of that fire. I mean, this is a time the president can show some fire in his belly, which sometimes is a little hard to detect.
Well, Ron Susskind, I thank you so much for joining us. I think the president will be speaking in a couple of minutes. Unless you have any other thoughts, I'll let you go because I know you want to watch the speech as well.
Well, no, this is a, it's nice chatting. And I mean, I guess, you know, I think that the broader question here is Barack Obama now is in a position where, in a way, he needs to evolve, if you will. This is the story of the last couple months, and certainly the story of the next next couple as well. And this may be an opportunity for that to happen. So I think that's the thing that that might have wider import.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Ron Susskind.